everyone. This is Women Talk Construction, and I'm Angela Gardner, one of your co-hosts, and I am here with Christy Powell, the other co-host. How are you today, Christy?
Good. How are you doing, Angela?
I'm great. We have already had three wonderful conversations, and we are about to have our fourth today with Eileen. I mean, wait till you hear about her and what she is doing at the National Building Museum. But I'm going to open up this conversation with, I love to sometimes share with some of my peers about our guests that are coming on, just to, you know, because I just think they're all amazing. And so one of my friends who has some young kids, she immediately sent me a text or a video text of her kids visiting the museum last summer and playing with the Legos. They were so excited. And I think I've actually been to several events there in DC at the museum. So what about you, Christy? Have you been to some events there?
I have been to one. And I want to say that my favorite experience was the first time I was in there, because when you walk in, it's just grand. Right. Everything is grand and it's beautiful and
it's all lit up too. Right.
Yeah. And I know not everybody that listens to our podcast knows a lot about construction, but the millwork in that place was just,
oh, wow.
Just beautiful, beautiful pieces of millwork and artistry. Yeah. They're artists that put those things together. It was beautiful. We had I can't remember exactly what we were celebrating. I want to say Kohler was,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kohler, actually, that we were celebrating his legacy, if I remember right.
Yep, 150th anniversary at our gala, and so they received
that honor. Gala was amazing, and yeah. I literally had to go out with my sister and find an outfit, because galas, that was the first real gala I wanted to dress up for. So I'm not used
to fashion too. I like to bring the fashion. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I am not, I was not that girl for many years. So, you know, stepping into this role, I've had to learn how to dress a little bit. So what is your favorite part, Eileen, about the National Building Museum? Because coming from you, you know all the details, right? Mm-hmm. So I would love to know what's been one of your favorite memories of the National Building Museum?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's really exciting to speak to you both today. Christy, it's so good to see you again. And I was really honored to be asked to talk with you today. There's so many things I could say. Like, let me zoom out. I think from like the building perspective, if you haven't been there before, the National Building Museum was built in the 1880s as the pension bureau for the museum, for the country, right? So like you're coming out of the Civil War and get all these Union soldiers that need to process pensions. They want to make this big grand building. And simultaneously, when they're building the building, the federal government in DC is sort of being like, you know what? We need like a big, awesome space for big events. Probably the first event that they had there was Grover Cleveland's inaugural ball. And since then, we host the inaugural balls like for almost every presidency. So the building itself, when you walk in, it had the largest interior Corinthian columns in the world. I mean, and so it's one of those things where just your jaw drops. It's a national historic landmark in a town full of incredible monuments and beautiful architecture and buildings. It is still the building. It's still a stunner. You know, there's a terracotta frieze around the whole building. So it's amazing. And I think, I guess that ties to probably one of my favorite moments was when I decided to take the job. I'd been appointed. I was never going to move to DC. I'm a New Yorker. And I came in and I wanted to show my kids the museum and in New York, I had ran a botanical garden. So they had all these gardens to run around, and they were sort of like, it's going to be one building. You know, they were 6 year old at the time, 6 year old twins. And they walked in the door and they, you know, opened up and they just looked up at the columns and they just, and it just took off running around like airplanes. They were all around there. And I'm like, oh, they get it. They get it.
You know,
that was a really, really good moment to understand how people experience that incredible, incredible space and scale.
It is beautiful. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about your role as president and executive director of the National Building Museum. That's a pretty big lift that you've taken on as a role, because you gotta have your hands in a lot of things every single day. And what do your responsibilities entail?
it is a incredible role. And I mentioned that I didn't see myself moving to DC, but it wasn't until, you know, that this opportunity came across and I said, you know, that's not for me. And one of my mentors was like, this is you. The National Building Museum is looking for its next leader and it's you. And there's a bunch of reasons why, you know, and once I really looked at it and I was like, wait a minute, like this museum is, we are chartered by Congress. We are legislated to be our country's, our nation's museum for how we design and build. And I thought at this moment in time, you know, when we're coming out of COVID, when we're facing climate crises and equity and public health, and literally how we are going to build our buildings and our communities is going to shape. It's crucial to humanity. I mean, it's not that dramatic to say what a big deal it is. I felt such a calling. I'm like, I have to do this. And so for me, like, you know, being the head of the museum, it's really about setting the vision, you know, and deciding what the priorities are. And I think, you know, a museum that's about the quote, the built environment is so huge, right? It's so huge that people don't even know what that means.
Yeah,
like, I agree. Like we ask visitors, does the built environment affect your life? And they're like, not really. And you're like, were you on a road? Do you live in a house? Do you go to school? You're like, so we realized we have to break it down a little bit more. And so, you know, I kind of created our four institutional pillars. Those pillars for us are equity, environment, innovation, and wonder. And those are the four sort of impact areas we think we have in the ways that we'd like to talk about why building matters, how we can empower and inspire, you know, our next generation of design and build thinkers, like how we can kind of get more people into that. And then how we can also bring together, I think one of the strengths of the museum is our convening power. We bring together people from across every vertical of the industry. Like, you know, it's the architects, the developers, the materials, the supply, the zone people, the community, but like, and have real conversations across the board. So to kind of de-silo the big picture of how we can kind of move forward. And so for me, and it's also, it has to be human-centered stories. Like people, and as a museum and I, as a museum professional, our business is storytelling. Like, you have to make these things matter to people. And people want to know what matters to their daily life, you know? And so we have an opportunity to really like tell those stories that make people look around their world very, very differently and see how and why things are built the way they are and how they can get involved. So I get to kind of really set that vision and work with a lot of incredible people across the industry, including my incredible board of directors. And, you know, then really I see myself as a leader empowering my great, my leaders to do their best work, whether it be in operationalizing the institution itself, creating great exhibitions, writing great curriculum, and always, you know, raising money. So, yeah.
I love that your story and your role is actually going to spark a lot of interest in young women that are listening to our podcast.
I hope
so. And that's
so
really what it's all about, right? Is they're listening to you with your visionary mind and with your young, spunky, like, this is what we're going to do. This is what we need. This is the vision that we're going to have. And that you're leading a change in the museum because of your creative mind. A lot of young girls can't see themselves in a position like the title says, but they can see themselves in a position like what you just said. And I thank you for that. I thank you for sharing that with the audience.
Four Lumber Company is the nation's largest privately held supplier of building materials, manufactured components, and industry-leading services for single and multifamily residences and commercial buildings. The company operates 310 facilities, which include stores, component manufacturing plants, custom door shops, and engineered wood product centers in 35 states. 84 Lumber Company also offers turnkey installation services for a variety of products, including framing, installation, siding, windows, roofing, decking, and drywall. For more information, visit 84lumber.com.
Oh, no, that's such a privilege to be able to inspire young women. I think I won't even preach to this choir because you guys are the choir about how much more we need women in the building industries, you know, but I think I say to any and all women, you know, you are so much more qualified than you think you are for so many things, you know, and you really have to like intentionally, I think as women, like dig a little deeper, think a little more creatively about everything you've done in your life, whether it's school, whether it's being on the, the captain of your soccer team, whether it was you did improv, whether it, whatever it is, all of those are skills that you've acquired to bring yourself to be ready where you are right now to do whatever's next. Like, we just have to kind of, I think, work harder at that mindset than men do, not to make a big generalization, but we do. We have to tell ourselves a great story about ourselves to really position ourselves for the next great opportunity.
Yes. I love that.
Oh yeah. I love that. You are so much more qualified than you think.
Mm-hmm.
With your extensive experience in cultural institutions and botanical gardens, which, by the way, I love to go visit those, how do you see the role of the National Building Museum in promoting architecture and design? Because that's so important, you know, in the building industry. How do you see that?
Yeah, I mean, the museum has, I would say, traditionally been a space for elevated thought leadership around architecture and been very, very design heavy. You know, I think our most legacy program is something called Spotlight on Design. And, you know, if you look back at in when people used to convene in person all the time, like, let's say, you know, in like the public programs in the 90s, you know, you had hundreds of people that would come and, you know, listen to Ai Weiwei or when Star Architect was an actual term, you know, we really brought those folks in and we had that. But I think design intent and design thinking is something that we break down well across every sort of spectrum of our audience. You know, we sort of see ourselves, if you talk about quote unquote workforce development, we're not a training center, it's not what we do, but we are an exposure point, right?
Yes.
And that those exposure points can be super, super, super critical. You know, so one of our programs that we've had for a long time is called City by Design, and we're elevating that right now. But for a decade, it's about bringing in like recycled materials and, you know, toilet paper rolls, et cetera, and designing cities together. And we have so many programs like that that put you as a youth, you know, in the seat of a designer, and to start thinking about the fact that those choices are made and those choices profoundly affect your life. And then, you know, as we get to like classes that are, many of our programs are, you can get continuing education credits through AIA, et cetera. And so you're kind of getting to be in conversation with and hearing and learning about process also of design. Like, we're a very process-based place. You know, we don't just show the finished product. We really like to talk about how things are made and designed, you know, and then kind of connect that together to then how they're built and what that back and forth is. And so I think the mandate is huge. I mean, I say to myself every single day, we are literally chartered by Congress to be the nation's museum to talk about this. Like, we have to tell a national story, and we have to really, really think about how profoundly impactful that is, how the design of the built environment around you right now, especially when we're undergoing, I call this time period the greatest transformation of urban life since World War II, when you're looking at what's happening in cities right now. So all that is now a rambling way of saying, I think our mandate is high, and I think our opportunities are huge. And I think we do a really excellent, excellent job, I think, of approaching it from a bunch of different audiences and a bunch of different ways. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a difficult task.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And yes. And before this, you know, you mentioned Botanical Garden. I had the privilege of being the CEO of Sun Harbor Cultural Center and Botanical Garden. And that, you know, the landscape design of that was also incredible. And that was also a lot about historic preservation, you know, which a lot of my work has been about. It's been about adaptive reuse of historic, of kind of sweeping historical sites or landmarks, and like, how do you turn it around for cultural activation? And so that's also like an incredible aspect, right, of design and design build challenges right now of, you know, kind of meeting more current sustainability mandates, but while preserving some of the, you know, incredible architecture that needs to be preserved also. So it's a big balance there also, but it was an incredible opportunity. Very exciting.
So as a leader in your field, what challenges do you face? Obviously you mentioned a few already in creating engaging and accessible exhibits and programs for a diverse audience. You talked a little bit about that, but tell us some of the challenges that you faced and how you overcame them.
Yeah, I'll talk about how overcoming. I don't know if I overcame, but I think also the like
it's a work in progress, right?
Exactly. But I think straight out the gate, it's the adage of like seeing challenges as opportunities, right? As opposed to seeing challenges as just roadblocks or U-turn, whatever. Like, so that's what we're trying to do. That, but I think in my industry, it's just a totally new world of how people want to consume content and how they want to be together. Yes. You know, like a lot of people are just taking in their quote unquote culture from their couch. Like, so what makes somebody yes. want to come to the museum, right? Like what's the difference? Like, why? You know, when we're becoming so, or we're just, you know, looking at our phone yeah. all day. So it's a really different world, and it's challenging a lot of museums. But I really like to think, and I think it's human nature to want to be together, to want to collectively, simultaneously experience something with someone. There's a different thing between, you know, you and I being like, hey, last night did you watch that show? Yeah, I watched it too. Versus sitting together and experiencing something together.
Yeah.
Is impactful. And so I think I would in terms of a success where we try to attack both those things, we just opened an exhibition in January that we've been working on for years that is a somewhat permanent exhibit, and it's called Building Stories, and it's about the built environment through the lens of children's literature. So it's an intergenerational exhibition that is like incredibly nostalgic for all of us, you know, in our 30s, 40s, and my parents, and then it's also incredibly impactful for a K-3 audience. Really, the idea there is we really look at our we experience the built world around us often early on in the pages of books, where we're finding out who we are and we're trying to determine our mm-hmm. place in the world.
Mm.
And I think there's two things there. One is that we created content that we think is appropriate and exciting for multiple generations. So if we're trying to get audiences to come to something, we're not trying to be something for everybody. Not every exhibit can be something for everyone. Some things are really targeted, but this is encouraging and going to delight a family of many different ages. So mm-hmm. like that's one thing we have to do. And then the other thing we did on this, which I think is successful, is we partnered with the DC Public Library System. So there will be a kiosk about building stories in every ward. Those are all throughout the District of Columbia. And so in order to reach audiences, you have to have more creative strategies and you have to engage with your community. So this is an example of us, you know, if you're not going to walk into the museum, you are going to walk into your local library, and maybe the library will bring you back to the museum. So those right. are like two ways where, you know, we're kind of, we understand what's going on and we're trying creatively to get more people.
Yeah. I think it's going to switch. I think people are starting to realize that we need to be together.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the things you've been at recently. Happening. Everyone's like, oh my God, it feels so good to be here.
Exactly. You know, the energy is totally different than it was before COVID. Right. Like the energy before COVID is, oh gosh, I got another thing to go to. And now it's like, oh my gosh, it's so great to see you. Let's get together again for coffee or whatever, instead of, you know, text me later or send me an email. It's like, let's get together. So
I agree.
Yeah, I love that.
She already answered a couple of our other questions, but actually one of them I did want to ask about the collaboration part with the other organizations, because it's very important that, you know, others hear that you're doing it.
Yeah.
And I think that one was that more of a local level that you were doing it when, or was that national too?
Oh, the library is just a local level, but we have collaborations across, like,
mm-hmm. So that's my question. National, who do you collaborate with nationally?
A lot of trade and industry organizations. I mean, I guess I'll call out two. The American Institute of Architects is a great partner of ours, long-standing partner. So AIA, the National Association of Home Builders is an amazing partner of ours. They, you know, they supported this most recent exhibition, and we have a partnership with them where we are the content that we develop, like the curriculum and other sort of like out of school network things, we're sharing now with them, and then they're sharing with their like Girls and Boys Clubs networks, et cetera. It's like we're always talking with on both of those levels. Like, there's so many values we're aligned on. There's so many things we all mutually care about. So how can we be more collectively impactful and, you know, find the ways to collaborate that are helpful to everybody, you know? And there's so many ways of that. Like, we're a cultural institution. Our point is to like reach people. We're not lobbying. We're not advocating, you know? So there's so many different ways though that we feel so, I think, aligned. And so those are two. I mean, there's many, many like that.
Many more.
Like, we benefit from the thought leadership, like the real access to what's happening on the ground in these industries. You know, what do you need to see more? What does the general public need to know more about? You know, how can we better educate the next generation? How do we demystify whatever it is, carbon capture to this, to that, you know, like, and, And we kind of like can really work at a big macro level with some of these national institutions to make sure that we're all kind of like moving the needle where we want to. So
yeah.
It's been like really, really, really incredible partnerships. Yeah.
Telling your stories to the right people is our job. Building things is yours. Tillhouse is a small, woman-owned, full-service marketing agency specializing in helping businesses realize their full potential and then grow into that potential. Telling your story is an art, and we take pride in our craft. Tillhouse, where stories meet strategy. Find us on the web to learn more.
National Association of Women in Construction, I know one of those groups is going to pull together women confidence builders and themselves, and we're going to try to attend an event this year in 2024. So that's our goal for this year. So
yeah.
They're a big organization and national organization, but this particular group is Libby Mendriotta is the president of the NAWIC. I want to say in Maryland.
I want to say it's
Maryland. You might be right. It might be Metro Washington. It could be.
Oh, Metro Washington.
Because she's
it.
Real close.
Yeah.
She actually came and met you that day for lunch, Eileen, when I got to meet you too. Anyway, really excited about that. Really excited about getting our young girls to see what's going on at the National Building Museum. Mm-hmm. We think that's going to be a real game changer for them to see that building, to see what's going on, whether it be, I don't know which event in particular we're going to try to attend together, but just them seeing the majesty of that building is going to be a game changer for those young girls.
We just brought in a group of women, young women, rising leaders in the International Masonry Institute.
Nice.
It was 24 women that came in, and we have this incredible, we also are a collecting institution. We have an incredible brick collection. And so we got them to come in, and they got to, you know, check out the collection and see what we do. And then I told them about my story, and everyone was just like, oh my, I can't even believe this. You know, it's amazing to watch that those light bulbs go off for people when they see us. Yeah.
So what are your goals and aspirations for the National Building Museum? We could talk forever. What are your goals and aspirations for the museum? How can we help you get more word out? Obviously, having you on the show today is probably going to help get some word out, right, to all the women that listen to our podcast and men and organizations. But also, when you're answering that question, throw in a few things that you'd like to see for the next generation to be looking towards for the museum. What are your aspirations for both? Where do you see the museum going, and what would you like to see? But also, how would you like the next generations to see the museum in the future?
I think all of that probably wraps around the word of relevance. You know, I'd like to lead the museum into increasingly national prominence and relevance, and really be seen as that institution that, you know, if you are interested in design and construction, you know the National Building Museum. Full stop. You know, like and if you are a emerging leader to an established leader, you support the museum, full stop, because it's you just see it that way. And so with that comes a huge accountability that I put on myself then to deserve that relevance. You know, and I think that we're doing that in a really methodical way. You know, we've looked at our audiences from a bunch of different layers. And I think on our family audience between Brick City, which you had mentioned, Brick City is the Lego-based exhibition, building story, some of the things that we're doing, we have that family audience. And then we have another initiative called Future Cities, where that has a whole bunch of expressions coming out over the next 3 years in terms of really looking at that, at the future of our vibrant urban spaces across the country. And then a third tier is construction innovation. So we have a design concept right now for a construction innovation space. And that's something I think that would be incredibly exciting to work with you all on, and to work with any and all young women on. You know, like this is a space that's super, to me, it's like, we're the National Building Museum. There's a couple of things that we just should have there. And one of those should be a dedicated space that's about the incredible innovation that's happening across the industry, and make it be exciting and palpable and accessible to somebody who maybe stumbled upon it. You know, we kind of have to do that. Yeah. And then, and also very, very useful for, you know, for other sorts of like Tourette's or thoughts. But I think that's really on us to, I think, to attract more people in mm-hmm. different ways to understand the pathways within these industries that are really exciting, really relevant, and are going to be completely stabilizing and satisfying for you as yes. an individual in your life, mm-hmm. you know, for women. And I think part of that also across the board, and I hear this a lot, is just it can't be architecture over here and construction over here.
It's right. not how we, agree. Right?
Like that.
And engineering can't be in its own
to
either.
Come together.
Yeah.
And it's shocking how much mm-hmm. sometimes it's not. And everybody's trying to sort of solve it in these like siloed ways. And so, you know, where can the museum also be helpful bringing those voices into conversation, I think would be really exciting. And I also think the museum, then we can't be shy from tackling big social right. issues and really putting those front and center. You know, we did a big exhibit about the border wall, not as a political issue, as a built environment, story.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're looking at
it's still mass history, incarceration, right?
prison design. We're doing yeah. things that are like, I think are going to be mm-hmm. cutting edge and, you know, allows us to be sort of responsive to the biggest things that are yeah. affecting all of our lives right now. So yeah. I guess that's what I'd like to see us do is really.
I think that's
that
a good vision.
Yeah.
That's a great vision.
It is. And that's yeah. a lofty one, but you can do it. Yeah.
What can we do to help?
Yeah.
I mean, thank you again for inviting me.
We're honored
I have this
to have
thing
you
in my
on.
Head from the first time I went to the International Builder Show, which I hope I will see you guys both at.
Yes, I will be there.
Yay.
Yay.
Was 2 years ago. And there was, you know, I was kind of going around the floor a lot and meeting the real the builders across our
yeah.
country, right?
And the salt of the earth is what a
right?
lot of people
and I would
call
say
them.
75% yeah. of them had no idea what the National Building Museum was. And when I said, when I was able to kind of concisely say what we are, everybody, there was this sentiment, they were like, oh, I didn't know we had a museum. And that almost
yes.
like, I could hear, I'm like,
wow.
that's yeah. it. That's it. It is. That's what I want you to think. I want you to understand mm-hmm. it's we. I want you, anytime you want to bring your kids to Washington, D.C. over the summer, you know, to come to this museum because I'm going to
yes.
you're going to be welcomed. It's going to be a celebration of what you do. And
right.
so I guess it's just, you know, helping us get that word out
get
there
that message
and we're
out.
Gonna keep doing our part to establish that trust and be that place and just send it anybody and everybody you know there. Yeah.
Okay. We can do
it's on
that.
You, Christy. It's on you, Angela. Do it.
We can do it. Yes.
Thank you for being on. We really appreciate you today. Let our audience know, how do they get involved with the museum? How do they get involved with you? How do they find you? How do they support you? So if our listeners have access to resources, capital, you know, ways to bring millions of people to look at the building museum.
Have a vacation, go
how do
there,
they
visit.
Do that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I mean, our website is easy, nbm.org. That's National Building Museum. So that's always a good start. But also, you know, I'm not shy. My email is afuchs@nbm.org. Like, you know,
and she does answer it.
Reach out.
Yeah.
I mean, reach out to us. Come attend. When we are open Thursday to Monday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So come visit, come see what we're doing. We're doing something super cool and fun this summer that I can't say what we're doing, but it's going to be so wildly amazing. Think about world record breaking, wink.
Nice.
There's going to be lots of opportunities. Like, you know, come join our mailing list and see what we're doing. Come visit us. That's it.
Love it.
Yep.
Thank you so much for being on and sharing the wonderful things that you're doing for our industry. We really appreciate you, Eileen.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's all for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Women Talk Construction podcast with your hosts, Christy Powell and Angela Gardner. See you next time.